As we relive our haunted days, we draw you to the top, our haunted haze.
Hey, welcome back to Haunted Haze. I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode 17.
So we're really getting up there on the episode numbers.
Yeah. We're starting to really build some numbers, right?
Yeah. I'm excited about this episode because it's all about witches.
Yeah, witches. Real witches.
Yeah. I was always, as a kid, really scared of witches.
Yeah.
I think it's because of The Wizard of Oz specifically, though.
Okay, that's a pretty scary witch. You remember the movie Pumpkinhead?
Oh, yeah.
The witch lady that's in that movie?
Yeah, that's a scary one.
It's so scary to me.
Yeah.
They could do a whole movie just on her, I think.
There's a lot of scary witches and stuff out there.
Well, yeah, like the Blair Witch is scary.
Yeah, The Craft.
Yeah, The Craft. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good witch movie. Yeah,
that's a really good one.
Yeah, witches are pretty popular. So this episode we're going to talk about kind of the history of witches, the Salem witch trials. We're going to touch on that. We're going to talk about just everything about witches.
As much as we can. Let's get informed about witches.
Okay, but before we get into it, make sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Haunted Haze Podcast.
Yes, and send us your thoughts, your stories at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
All right, so let's get into witches.
All right, cool.
Witches were perceived as evil beings by early Christians in Europe, inspiring the iconic Halloween figure. Images of witches have appeared in various forms throughout history, from evil wart-nosed women huddling over a cauldron of boiling liquid to hag-faced, cackling beings riding through the sky on brooms wearing pointy hats. In pop culture, the witch has been portrayed as a benevolent, nose-switching suburban housewife, and a trio of charmed sisters battling the forces of evil. The real history of witches, however, is dark and often, for the witches, deadly.
Nowadays, I feel like you think of witches, it's more of like crystals, like that kind of,
like how they touch on like the charmed witches. And it is definitely more.
That's what you hear more about nowadays, I guess.
Yeah, more benevolent, I guess. Alright, so the origin of witches. Early witches were people who practiced witchcraft, using magic spells and calling upon spirits for help or to bring about change. Most witches were thought to be pagans doing the devil's work. Many, however, were simply natural healers or so-called wise women whose choice of profession was misunderstood. It's unclear exactly when witches came on the historical scene, but one of the earliest records of the witch is in the Bible, in the book of Samuel. Thought to be written between 931 BC and 721 BC, it tells the story of when King Saul sought the witch of Endor to summon the dead prophet Samuel's spirit to help him defeat the Philistine army. The witch roused Samuel, who then prophesied the death of Saul and his sons. The next day, according to the Bible, Saul's sons died in battle and Saul committed suicide. Other Old Testament verses condemn witches, such as the oft-cited Exodus 22:18, which says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." Additional biblical passages caution against divination, chanting, or using witches to contact the dead.
I just feel like they're encroaching on our territory. only believe in our religion.
Right, yeah.
Kill these bitches.
Yeah. Early Christians definitely were violent towards
anything different.
Yeah. All right, so the Malleus Maleficarum. Witch hysteria really took hold in Europe during the mid-1400s, when many accused witches confessed, often under torture, to a variety of wicked behaviors. Within a century, witch hunts were more common, and most of the accused were executed by burning at the stake or hanging. Single women, widows, and other women on the margins of society were especially targeted. Between the years 1500 and 1660, up to 80,000 suspected witches were put to death in Europe. Around 80% of them were women thought to be in cahoots with the devil and filled with lust. Germany had the highest witchcraft execution rate, while Ireland had the lowest. The publication of Malleus Maleficarum, written by two well-respected German Dominicans in 1486, likely spurred witch mania to go viral. The book, usually translated as The Hammer of Witches, was essentially a guide on how to identify, hunt, and interrogate witches. Malleus Maleficarum labeled witchcraft as heresy and quickly became the authority for Protestants and Catholics trying to flush out witches living among them. For more than 100 years, the book sold more copies of any other book in Europe except the Bible.
That's crazy.
Yeah. People were real terrified of witches. The Salem Witch Trials. And we'll touch more on this later. Kristen's got a lot more detail about the witch trials and what they were doing to them. But as witch hysteria decreased in Europe, it grew in the New World, which was reeling from wars between the French and British, a smallpox epidemic, and the ongoing fear of attacks from neighboring Native American tribes. The tense atmosphere was ripe for finding scapegoats. Probably the best-known witch trials took place in Salem, Massachusetts, in 1692. The Salem witch trials began when 9-year-old Elizabeth Paris and 11-year-old Abigail Williams began suffering from fits, body contortions, and uncontrolled screaming. Today, it's believed that they were poisoned by a fungus that caused spasms and delusions. As more young women began to exhibit symptoms, mass hysteria ensued, and 3 women were accused of witchcraft: Sarah Good, Sarah Osborne, and Tituba, an enslaved woman owned by Paris's father. Tituba confessed to being a witch and began accusing others of using black magic. On June 10th, Bridget Bishop became the first accused witch to be put to death during the Salem witch trials when she was hanged at the Salem gallows. Ultimately, around 150 people were accused and 18 were put to death. Women weren't the only victims of the Salem witch trials. 6 men were also convicted and executed. Massachusetts wasn't the first of the 13 colonies to obsess about witches, though. In Windsor, Connecticut, in 1647, Alice Young was the first person in America executed for witchcraft. Before Connecticut's final witch trial took place in 1697, 46 people were accused of witchcraft in that state, and 11 were put to death for the crime. In Virginia, people were less frantic about witches. In fact, in Lower Norfolk County in 1655, a law was passed making it a crime to falsely accuse someone of witchcraft. Still, witchcraft was a concern. About 24 witch trials, mostly of women, took place in Virginia between 1626 and 1730. So almost 100 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
None of the accused were executed.
That's good.
So are witches real? Are they, you know, were they actually, you know, women of the devil?
I think not.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
So one of the most famous witches in Virginia's history is Grace Sherwood, whose neighbors allege she killed their pigs and hexed their cotton. Other accusations followed, and Sherwood was brought to trial in 1706. The court decided to use a controversial water test to determine her guilt or innocence. Sherwood's arms and legs were bound, and she was thrown into a body of water. It was thought if she sank, she was innocent. If she floated, she was guilty. Sherwood didn't sink and was convicted of being a witch. She wasn't killed, but put in prison for 8 years. A satirical article, supposedly written by Benjamin Franklin, about a witch trial in New Jersey, was published in 1730 in the Pennsylvania Gazette. It brought to light the ridiculousness of some witchcraft accusations. It wasn't long before witch mania died down in the New World, and laws were passed to help protect people from being wrongly accused and convicted.
I always feel like whenever you hear about the, and I'm going to get more into the different like ways they used to test the for witches.
Right.
But every time I hear stuff like that, I always think like they always do it where like if she drowns, she's not a witch. Oh, well then you're like, well, oops.
Yeah, we killed an innocent person. Damn.
Yeah. Well, dang.
It's like they knew that like everyone floats, right? They knew she was going to float.
Yeah.
What the fuck? All right, anyway. So the witches, they have a book, right? The Book of Shadows. Modern-day witches of the Western world still struggle to shake their historical stereotype. Most practice Wicca, an official religion in the United States and Canada. Wiccans avoid evil and the appearance of evil at all costs. Their motto is to harm none and they strive to live a peaceful, tolerant, and balanced life in tune with nature and humanity. Many modern-day witches still perform witchcraft, but there's seldom anything sinister about it. Their spells and incantations are often derived from the Book of Shadows, a 20th century collection of wisdom and witchcraft, and can be compared to the act of prayer in other religions. A modern-day witchcraft potion is more likely to be an herbal remedy for the flu instead of a hex to harm someone. Today's witchcraft spells are usually used to stop someone from doing evil or harming themselves. Ironically, while it's still probable some historical witches used witchcraft for evil purposes, many may have embraced it for healing or protection against the immorality that they were accused of. But witches, whether actual or accused, still face persecution and death. Several men and women suspected of using witchcraft have been beaten and killed in Papua New Guinea since 2010.
Wow.
Including a young mother who was burned alive. Similar episodes of violence against people accused of being witches have occurred in Africa, South America, the Middle East, and in immigrant communities in Europe and the United States.
You don't think of it happening so recently.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah, it does seem like... It seems like a way long time ago that witches exist.
Yeah. Or that you could be, like, persecuted for it.
Yeah, right? It seems like so long in the past. But it also kind of... Like, the Book of Shadows, it reminds me of Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah, the eye book.
Yeah, yeah, that was the Book of Shadows.
They may have called it that in the
movie. Yeah, it was. Yeah, oh, okay. They called it the Book of Shadows. All right, so witchcraft in the Middle Ages. The original Christian view of witchcraft in the Middle Ages was that it wasn't real and could do no serious harm because it didn't exist. It took many years, various arguments of theologians, a number of inquisitors' manuals, and a series of papal bulls, which are written letters by the Pope of judgment and command, contradict the traditional Christian idea of the identity of witchcraft as heresy and blasphemous. Eventually, in 1484, Pope Innocent VIII, in his bull Summis Desiderantis, allowed the Inquisition to pursue witches. The idea of a witch hunt is not limited to witches. People against witches were also against Jews, Muslims, lepers, or any other group of people the church disliked. Very few people that were involved in these hunts had any tie to magic or witchcraft that historians are aware. The trials had little to do with actual witchcraft. Witch hunting was officially banned in England in 1736 when the Witchcraft Act was passed. Damn. Burning a witch at the stake was a fairly rare occurrence. It took a great amount of effort to make the stakes and pyres for burnings, whereas ropes were reusable and you could perform dozens of hangings in a single day. Hangings were much more cost-effective and efficient. Over the period of 10 months, 165 people were accused of being a witch in Salem, and 31 were in prison. However, only 19, 18 women and one man, were put to death. None of them were burned at the stake. The women were hanged. The man refused to admit he was a witch and was crushed to death with stones as the authorities tried to elicit a confession. His last words were a defiant, "More weight!" Wow. I ain't a witch, bitch. Origins of a modern witchcraft. The most widely observed witchcraft-based religion in the Western world is the faith system Wicca, which was officially recognized as a religion in the U.S. in the early 1990s. It was created in the early 1940s by Gerald Gardner and is largely based on ancient Druidism. The word Wic, also Anglo-Saxon in origin, and meant to bend, and evolved into the Middle English Wicca, or from masculine Old English Wicca, meaning sorcerer. It is the root of the words witch and wicked. Wicca was formed as sort of a spin-off, if you will, of Druidry, a Celtic religion that existed more than 1,000 years ago. One problem with this, however, is that the Druidic order was an oral tradition, so nothing about their rituals were written down, meaning most of the modern practices are based largely on guesswork and outsider accounts.
That's
really interesting. It's like it's all passed down.
Yeah, but you ever played that game where you whisper in the person's ear next to you?
You're right. Yeah, exactly. Like They're probably doing shit way off.
Way different.
So potions and their ingredients. Names like cat's paw or maidenhair, often written as ingredients of spells or potions, are code words used in place of plants. It was a common practice among farming people to disguise the name of herbs and other such plants so that others wouldn't know what their different recipes and potions actually contain. Some are actually the proper names for certain herbs. There really are plants called serpent's tongue, bird's foot, and mouse ear. So that's wow. Interesting. Code name for your herb. The term pagan originally meant rustic or country dweller. Paganism refers to ancient religions like Druidry or the pantheons of the Greek and Roman Empire. Neo-paganism refers to the new faith system or reconstructions of old religion like Wicca and Theodism. The four categories of neo-paganism are animism, the belief that non-human entities are spiritual beings, polytheism, belief in more than one god, pantheism, the view that the universe or nature and God are identical, and shamanism, the belief that shamans are the intermediaries or messengers between the human world and the spirit worlds. So witchcraft and Satanism. The notion that witches worship Satan is mostly false. Most pagan religions and belief systems are not based in Christianity. They have no concept of Satan and therefore cannot worship him. There are Satanists who do, but there are two types of Satanism, Levian and Luciferian. Luciferians, as Satan worshippers, are the original branch of Satanism. Levian Satanism, which is atheistic, was introduced in 1966 by a man called Anton LaVey. Levian Satanism is a relatively new branch of Satanism, whereas Luciferian Satanism has existed as long as Christians have acknowledged Satan as an entity. Luciferian Satanists are the only magic practicing religion who worship the Christian Satan. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Symbols. In Western magic, sigils are symbols connected to a set of ideas by which spirits or deities may be summoned to awareness and controlled. They are used in divinatory practices. The term is derived from the Latin sigillum, meaning seal. The sigil itself does not call forth the spirit, but serves as a physical focus through which the magician achieves the desired state of mind. Ancient witchcraft. It is possible to trace the origin of witch hunting to an incident that occurred in 1208. Two of the Pope's inquisitors were staying in a house in the south of France. They were staying there to root out heretics. In the middle of the night, a knight of Raymond the Sixth, who believed that the Old Testament God was a demon, was admitted to the house. He slaughtered Pierre de Castel. After this murder, the Pope was determined to stamp out heretics at all costs. A bloody crusade followed. Catholics were dragged from their homes and burned. In 1244, 200 of them were burned on a gigantic bonfire. Those that survived were no longer accused of heresy. They were accused of a new and strange crime, conspiring with the devil, or as it came to be known, witchcraft.
Wow.
So that's how you get witchcraft.
Yeah.
So, divinations and philtres. Ornithomancy is the Greek term for the practice of divination by observing the flight of songbirds. Margaritomancy is a form of divination which uses a pearl covered with a vase, which is utilized during trials. The vase was placed near a fire while names of subjects were read aloud. When the name of the guilty person was pronounced, supposedly the pearl would bound up and pierce the bottom of the vase. Philtre, a potion that causes one to fall in love with another person, was popular in the Middle Ages, but lost the favor to the charms and spells in the 17th and 18th centuries. Philtres are still produced in some folk magic traditions, but are strictly forbidden in most neo-pagan religions. So that was really interesting. That's all. Okay, so that's a lot of the backstory and the history of witches, but yeah. I also have 17 facts about witches that are 100% true.
Okay, 100%.
Yeah. So number one, a witch goddess inspired the first ballet. Number two, witches' pointy hats are rooted in anti-Semitism. Number three, and their broomsticks are symbols of femininity and domesticity gone wild.
I can see that.
Number four, one of the earliest records of a witch is in the Bible. We kind of talked about that earlier, 1 Samuel. Number five, Sweden has Easter witches.
That's cool. Different witches for different times of the year.
Yeah, different witches for different folks. Number six, there's a world record for the largest gathering of people dressed as witches. Can you guess where it was?
Salem.
No.
Dang, that was a good guess, though.
Sortlita, Spain.
Why the hell would I know that?
1,607 costume participants. Number seven, there is nearly 600-year-old legal book on witchcraft.
Okay.
Written by Pope Innocent VIII.
Pope Innocent.
Yeah. Number eight, Puritan Christians believe that witches could turn into black cats.
Black cats and voodoo dolls.
Or why specifically like black cats? I guess because black cats are kind of creepy.
I think it's because they're cool.
Right on. Number nine, up to 80,000 suspected witches were put to death in Europe. Number 10, the last time someone was convicted of witchcraft was in 1944.
Where does it say?
The last time someone was convicted of witchcraft was 1944.
Well, that's not true, but...
It was in East London.
Maybe that's what they mean.
Her name was Jane Rebecca York.
Except for that one that you told me earlier, we read that it had happened in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
In Africa.
That's true, yeah. Number 11, there are plenty of witches practicing in the U.S. today.
Yeah.
It says approximately 1.5 million practicing witches across the U.S. In 2018 was the last time it was counted. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Number 12, modern witches celebrate 8 holidays per year.
Ooh, I like it.
They're always down to party. Number 13, and Halloween is a witch's New Year's.
I like that.
Number 14, Wiccan witches don't believe in the devil. Number 15, some witches fly solo and others belong to covens. Number 16, a witch's spellbook is called a book of shadows.
Yeah.
Number 17, the fastest marathoner dressed as a witch and ran it in just 3.5 hours. On April 23rd, 2017, Nicola Nuttall of the UK.
That's crazy fast.
That is really fast.
Didn't a marathon like 30 miles?
Or 24
more? I think it's maybe 24 miles.
Yeah.
So 24 miles in 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
That is crazy.
I think it usually takes with people 5 hours maybe to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds probably about right.
Right. All right, so now Kristen is going to get more into like the Salem witch trials and kind of the persecution of witches.
Yeah, so I have a lot about the Salem witch trials, and then I'm going to get into, like you said, like how they were testing them, and then also other witch trials that maybe you haven't ever heard of.
Okay, yeah, in other countries.
Yeah.
And we also have like a list of like actual witches, like actual women that were put to death.
Oh yeah, I do. I have the notable witches. Women that were hanged. Oh, for wow. Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so the Salem witch trials, the infamous Salem witch trials began during the spring of 1692 after a group of young girls in Salem Village, Massachusetts claimed to be possessed by the devil and accused several local women of witchcraft. A wave of hysteria spread through colonial Massachusetts, and a special court convened in Salem to hear the cases. The first convicted witch was Bridget Bishop. She was hanged that June. 18 others followed Bishop to Salem's Gallow Hill, while some 150 more men and women and children were accused over the next several months.
Oh, children?
By September of 1692, the hysteria had begun to abate and public opinion turned against the trials. Though the Massachusetts General Court later annulled guilty verdicts against accused witches and granted indemnities to their family, bitterness lingered in the community and painful legacy of the Salem witch trials would endure for centuries. I really want to go to Salem.
Yeah,
I think that would be so cool.
Especially like around Halloween.
Oh,
like
in October. I've seen pictures of it. Yeah, awesome. And that is where they film Hocus Pocus too.
Yeah.
So that'd be awesome. Belief in the supernatural, and specifically the devil's practice of giving certain humans the power to harm others in return for their loyalty, had emerged in Europe in the early 14th century. It was widespread in colonial New England. In addition, the harsh realities of life in rural Puritan communities of Salem Village at the time included the after effects of British war with France and in the American colonies in 1689. A recent smallpox epidemic, fears of attacks from neighboring Native American tribes, and long-standing rivalries with more affluent communities of Salem Town. Amid these simmering tensions, the Salem witch trials would be fueled by resident suspicions and resentment towards their neighbors, as well as fear of outsiders. In January 1692, 9-year-old Elizabeth Betty Paris and 11-year-old Abigail Williams, the daughter and niece of Samuel Paris, the minister of Salem Village, began having fits, including violent contortions and uncontrollable outbursts of screaming.
Wow.
After a local doctor, William Griggs, diagnosed bewitchment, other young girls in the community began to exhibit similar symptoms, including Ann Putnam Jr., Mercy Lewis, Elizabeth Hubbard, Mary Walcott, and Mary Warren were the young girls in the community that began to show these symptoms. In late February, arrest warrants were issued for the Paris Caribbean slave Tituba, along with two other women, the homeless beggar Sarah Good and the poor elderly Sarah Osborne, whom the girls accused of bewitching them.
That's crazy. You can just like go tell someone like, they bewitched me.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Right.
That's a little kind of like how, like, I guess like cancel culture is right now.
Well, that is true. Yeah. That's a good point.
It's kind of like our modern witch
trials.
Yeah.
The three accused witches were brought before the magistrates, Jonathan Corwin and John Hawthorne, and questioned, even as their accusers appeared in the courtroom in grand display of spasms, contortions, screaming, and writhing. Though Good and Osborne denied their guilt, Tituba confessed, likely seeking to save herself from certain convictions by acting as an informer. She claimed there was other witches acting alongside her in service of the devil against the Puritans. As hysteria spread through the community and beyond into the rest of Massachusetts, a number of others were accused, including Martha Corey and Rebecca Nurse, both regarded as upstanding members of church and community, and the 4-year-old daughter of Sarah Good. Like Tituba, several accused witches confessed and named several others. The trials began to overwhelm the local justice system, and in May of 1692, the newly appointed governor of Massachusetts, William Phipps, ordered the establishment of a special court of oyer to hear and to decide on witchcraft cases for Suffolk, Essex, and Middlesex counties. Presided over by judges including Hawthorne, Samuel Sewall, and William Salton, the court handed down its first conviction against Bridget Bishop. On June 2nd, she was hanged, and 8 days later, on what would have become known as Gallows Hill, 5 more people were hanged that July.
Damn.
5 people in August and 8 more in September. In addition, 7 other accused witches died in jail, while the elderly Giles Corey was pressed to death by stones after he refused to enter a plea for his arraignment.
Damn. More weight.
That's so sad.
That's a terrible way to die.
That's basically like, fuck you. Though the respected minister Cotton Mather had warned the dubious value of spectral evidence or testimony about dreams and visions, his concern went largely unheeded during the Salem witch trials. Increase Mather, president of Harvard College, and Cotton's father, later joined his son, urging that the standards of evidence for witchcraft must be equal to those for any other crimes, concluding that it would be better than that 10 suspected witches may escape than one innocent person be condemned. Amid waning public support for the trials, Governor Phipps dissolved the Court of Oyer and Terminer in October and mandated that the successor disregard spectral evidence. Trials continued with dwindling intensity until early 1693. And by that May, Phipps had pardoned and released all those imprisoned on witchcraft charges.
Well, at least someone came to their senses.
Yeah, for sure. In January of 1697, the Massachusetts General Court declared a day of fasting for the tragedy of the Salem witch trials. The court later deemed the trials unlawful, and the leading justice, Samuel Sewall, publicly apologized for his role in the process. The damage to the community lingered, however, even after Massachusetts colony passed legalization, restoring the good names of the condemned and providing financial restitution to their heirs in 1711. Indeed, the vivid and painful legacy of the Salem witch trials endured well into the 20th century, when Arthur Miller dramatized the events of 1692 in his play, The Crucible, using them as an allegory for the anti-communist witch hunts led by Senator Joseph McCarthy in the 1950s.
Wow.
I feel like they probably did it when you were at school, the yeah. Crucible play.
Yeah.
I think they did it every year.
Well, I remember watching the movie.
Oh, yeah. I think maybe we watched the movie in class.
Yeah.
At school.
That's such a crazy time, like, people just being accused of something that they didn't do and other people just going along with it.
But at the same time, that still happens today. I mean, look at what the Innocence Project is doing.
Oh, yeah, in a lot of ways. There's a lot of people persecuted.
Yeah.
Wrongfully, so.
So
it never stopped.
So next I have the five notable women that were hanged in the Salem witch trials.
Okay.
So it's maybe going to go over a few of the same that they just told us, but Bridget Bishop. When the court convened in Salem, the first case was against Bridget Bishop, a local widow, and the prosecutor assumed her case would be easy to win. Bishop had been accused of witchcraft more than a decade earlier, but was acquitted due to a lack of evidence. She also fit everyone's idea of the witch, elderly, poor, and argumentative.
Oh, wow.
10 witnesses testified against Bishop, and she was quickly found guilty and sentenced to death. On June 10th, she was taken to Proctor's Ledge near Gallows Hill and hanged by the neck until she was dead.
Damn.
Sarah Good. By then, signs of oppression of the Salem witch trials had begun to surface. Several ministers questioned whether the court relied too much on spectral evidence or on testimonies about ghostly figures that witches supposedly sent to afflict their victims. Still, when the Court of Warrior and Terminer reconvened on June 28th, after its success convicting Bishop, Sarah Good was quickly convicted and sentenced to death. Several other of the afflicted girls claimed Good's specter attacked them, and Tituba and several others had named her as a fellow witch in their confessions, claiming that she flew on a broomstick and attended witches' gatherings. On July 19th, Good was carted to Gallows Hill and executed along with a churchgoer grandmother, Rebecca Nurse, and three other convicted witches.
Damn, they're just killing everybody.
Yeah, they are. Susanna Martin. Susanna Martin did not even live in Salem, but in Ansbury, Massachusetts. Like Bishop, she had been accused of witchcraft before, but the charges had been dropped for lack of evidence. Her bad reputation may have been spread to Salem by 1692, when four of the afflicted girls in Salem accused her by name, claiming her specter had attacked them. When the court asked how they knew that specter's was Martin, the girls said, oh, she said her name was Goody Martin, and she was from Ansbury, Burns recounted. They didn't even have to recognize her. Despite the general lack of evidence against her, Martin was also convicted and hanged on July 19th, the same day as Sarah Good.
Damn.
So these people just heard there was a witch named Susanna Martin, and they said, let's say her.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's fucked up. Martha Carrier. When the court met for a third session in early August 1692, it heard the case of Martha Carrier of Andover, which would become home to more accused witches than any other town. Her family was very unpopular, Burns says. They were thought to have brought smallpox to Andover, and after Carrier was accused, the authorities integrated her two teenage sons, torturing them into confessing to witchcraft themselves and implicating their mother.
Damn.
In The Wonders of the Invisible World, his famous account of the Salem witch trials, Cotton Mather memorably recalled a rampant hag who aspired to being Queen of Hell. The court convicted Carrier of the same session as two other prominent male victims, John Proctor and Reverend George Burroughs. So they basically said she was going to be the Queen of Hell.
Well, no, but it's like, did this guy try to, like, have a relationship with her and have, like, sex with her or something?
And then decide to, like,
she's the Queen of Hell. Because I feel that. I felt that, you know? Like,
that's rude. Okay. All right. And then finally, Martha Corey. Like Rebecca Nurse, Martha Corey was far from the usual witch suspect. She was a coveted member of church and was considered to be an upstanding member of the community. But Martha had attracted suspicion after she tried to stop her husband Giles from attending one of the early examinations into the witch trials, even going so far as to hide his saddle. Shortly after this, one of the afflicted girls accused Martha of bewitching her and turning her blind.
Damn.
Martha's defiant attitude turned the court officials against her, and Giles refused to corroborate her testimony and even testified against her. At least until he himself was accused. Less than 2 weeks after Martha was found guilty and sentenced to death, Giles was pressed to death as he refused to enter a plea in his own trial. On September 22nd, Martha Corey went to the gallows along with seven other convicted witches in what would be the last hangings of the Salem witch trials.
Damn.
So she was like, no, husband, let's just not get involved.
Yeah.
Let's not go to the trials and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's mind our own business.
Yeah.
And they both ended up dying.
That's good. Wow.
That's messed up.
That's fucked up. Should have minded your own business.
Okay, so I have like some different testing methods that they use too.
To figure out if they were witches
or not? Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So number one is the swimming test. And this is what we talked about earlier when they would try to sink them. And if they sunk, you know, they were a witch. Or if they sunk, they were not a witch.
Right. Seems foolproof, right?
Yeah. Number two was the prayer test. And this was basically them making the witches read the Lord's Prayer or something like that without making any mistakes or anything. Because they believed that they, like, couldn't. Witches could not say prayers out loud. Yeah, like that.
Wow.
Number three was the touch test. And this basically was when the victim of the sorcery would have a special reaction to physical contact with their evil doer.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I guess if the witch touched their person, they would have, like, this crazy reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that wouldn't be hard to fake.
Yeah, right.
This one hurts my heart.
Oh, she's a witch. She's got me.
Witch cakes.
Oh, witch cakes.
This is when they would take the urine of the victim, mix it with this rye meal, and make like a cake with it, feed it to the witch's dog. Ugh. And they believed that this says that they would thought that the dog would reveal the name of the guilty sorcerer.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've heard in the past that if the dog like fell ill after eating the witch cake,
okay,
then it was like its mom was a witch or something.
If the dog died or got sick, yeah, after it ate the
That's what I've heard before. Cake. It makes more sense to me.
Oh, God.
All right. Next is the witch's mark.
Poor dog.
It was often known that witches were stripped and publicly examined for signs of an unsightly blemish or devil's mark that could supposedly change shape, color, and was believed to be numb and insensitive to pain.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. So they would be, like, poking these women and, you know, doing who knows what.
Yeah.
To these naked women.
It's crazy torture.
Awful.
It's like these people got off on it, you know?
Yeah, like for sure. Like the men, for sure.
Oh, yeah. They totally got off on, like...
Because, like, and also sex was so taboo back then.
Yeah, they were trying like, hard to repress it.
Yes, yeah. And they couldn't imagine what it's like nowadays.
Oh, God, no.
They would blow their mind.
People that died in the 70s would be mind-boggled what today's like. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
All right, so this kind of goes along with the witch's mark, and that's the pricking and scratching test.
Okay.
So they would, like, poke them and stuff, and because they were said to not bleed.
Bleed, yeah.
And it said, like, some of them would use dull needles or something to poke them and scratch them with so that they wouldn't bleed.
Oh, it's like a magic trick.
Yeah.
Kinda like, wow.
I know. Isn't that fucked up?
Just, why, like, how do you have it out so bad for someone that you just want to lie about them being a witch?
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, people still do that shit today, though. Like, people are accused, falsely accused of stuff all the time.
Right.
And then lastly is incantations. Also known as charging, this test involved forcing the accused witch to verbally order the devil to let the possessed victim come out of their fit or trance. So they would, I guess, like, be like,
you tell the devil directly to make little Sarah here stop calling her mother a bitch. I don't know.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that's a pretty messed up test. I can't imagine, like, even...
I mean, it all seems like... I mean, it seems like a bunch of bullshit. It seemed like someone
had... It is a bunch of bullshit.
...something out for this woman. She might have... Don't... You know, she said probably, like, fuck you, like, or something.
Or maybe she's just like, yeah. Or the old women who were alone and...
Oh, yeah, crotchety.
And argumentative.
Yeah,
and,
crotchety,
you know,
old,
like,
bitches. Well, yeah, all right. So, you, all right. So, someone maybe deserved it.
No, that is not what that means.
Look, so I have a family friend, and he used to tell us like ghost stories, like on Halloween. And so one of the stories he told us was that he actually had this lady that he used to help when he was a kid. He would, like, go to her house, and I won't maybe say he was related to her somehow. I can't quite remember, but he did know this lady from the time that he was young.
Yeah.
And he'd, like, go buy her groceries or go cut the lawn for her or, you know, run some
errands. Grandma vibes.
Yeah, run some errands for her. And he said she was just a really sweet lady, and she was getting ready to die. And she knew it. And she had told him, look, if you come to my funeral, whatever happens, do not open my casket. Do not open my casket. She's like, I'm getting buried, and I've done a lot of bad things in my past. And she told him that she was a witch and that she practiced, you know, certain magic in her past, that she was a bad witch.
Yeah.
So she died, goes to her funeral, they're there, and nothing's really, she said, everything, you know, pretty much everything was fine at the funeral. Nothing abnormal. As soon as they started to lower her casket into the ground, the casket started to, like, shake.
Yeah.
And he said that it sounded like you could hear, like, how, like, fire burns wood and it pops. The pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
So that was coming out of the casket, those sounds, and that you could kind of hear her screaming. Like, she was, like, burning in hell as they were lowering her in the casket. That's crazy. But, yeah, so that kind of story always stuck with me. And it just kind of helps with the lore of witches for me and how they're creepy. And
yeah.
I always think of the witch in, like I said earlier, in that Pumpkinhead movie.
She's your favorite.
Yeah, she's the scariest. Or
I was
Blair
a witch.
Witch, right? That's scary.
Yeah, I was a witch for Halloween last year. It's definitely one of my... I have been a witch before as a kid, too.
Yeah, witches are definitely, like, the classic, one of the classic kind of Halloween characters, for sure.
Yeah, I loved it.
Witches have a cool vibe. Like, I mean, everything from them being able to, like, fly broomsticks and cast spells and potions on you.
Well, and I'm also a big Harry Potter fan.
Oh, right.
So that's, like, a cool witch thing, too.
Witches are always crazy. They kind of seem, because of the Salem witch trials, that witches are kind of always going to be in, you know, kind of...
Seen in that, like...
Or it's going to always kind of be part of our lore, like the American lore.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's like we're going to always be connected to them. And so, witches, in a way, kind of help build America.
Yeah. I like it. I like witches.
They're very interesting. Even the religion of Wicca is very interesting
to
me. Like, just... the spiritual nature.
I definitely want to know more about it too.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the crystals and things like that.
I mean, I like my crystals and my sage and Palo Santo. All that stuff makes me happy.
Yeah, for sure.
But I bet that there's way more cool stuff I could get into.
Yeah, you could be a witch.
I should look into it.
I'll let you apply. Maybe you do.
Yeah, I feel like I have to.
Well, you want to apply yourself and play trivia?
Yeah.
Let's play some more horror trivia. All
right.
All right, so no more
handicap.
Handicap. Best of seven.
All right. I'm probably going to bomb this week. Oh, but all man. Right. All right.
All right, so I'll let you go first. You want to go first?
Yeah.
Who hosted the original Twilight Zone TV series?
Oh, shit. Dick Van Dyke.
Hey, you know what? Just throwing a name out there.
Yeah.
Sometimes works, but this time it didn't.
Damn.
Rod Serling.
Why would you do that to me?
Robert Englund portrayed Freddy Krueger in what horror movie franchise?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Correct.
Thank God. In the movie Maniac, what body part taken from the victims does the murderer nail to mannequins?
It's their face.
No.
Okay.
Scalps.
Their scalps. Okay.
What Wayans Brothers parody series used the title that Wes Craven initially wanted for his slasher film, Scream?
Scary Movie?
Yeah. That's good. All right,
One to one. In the 1984 movie Silent Night, Deadly Night, who does the murderer dress up as?
Santa Claus.
Yeah, very good. What movie franchise that began in 2004... featured torturous traps, self-amputations, and buckets full of blood?
Saw.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that three?
Three. 3-1. What was written on the hotel door in The Shining?
Red Rum.
Yeah.
Which what? Also backwards is murder.
What 2011 film was the first horror movie directed by Kevin Smith?
Oh. Kevin Smith directed 2011?
Yeah. Is that like Kevin Smith, the hockey jersey guy?
Yeah, from Jay and Silent Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did horror. Oh, well.
Did he do...
Do you want me to give you a hint?
Well, yes.
It's got a color in it.
Okay. I don't know.
Red State.
Red State. Damn, okay. I've seen that movie. Okay. I don't really think of it so much as horror as a thriller.
The score is 2-3?
Yep, 2-3.
Hell yeah.
What 2012 film stars Ethan Hawke as a true crime writer and featured a demon named Bagul?
We just watched this.
Yep. There's...
Golly, what's it called?
There's two of them. It's not Insidious, I'll tell you that.
I know that.
Okay, well, it's not The Conjuring either.
I know that, too. I know exactly. It's got the videotapes he finds them in the attic.
Yes.
And he has glasses.
Yes. There's two of them.
Can you give me a hint?
I need to call over my minister because this movie is... Damn, that's...
Damn! I'm going to hate myself right now.
Sinister.
God damn it.
Yeah. What 2016 film centers around father and son coroners investigating the death of an unidentified, beautiful female corpse?
The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Yep, correct. So what's that, 4-2?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I got some catching up to do. Maybe I'll get both of these right.
All right. What breed of dog is Cujo?
Damn, is he St. Bernard or Rottweiler? Damn, I can't remember. What is he? It's St. Bernard.
Correct.
Damn, okay.
What Spanish found footage film centers on a reporter and her cameraman trapped in a building whose occupants show animalistic, murderous behavior?
Rec.
Yep.
A record.
Yeah, REC, whatever. Yeah. What's the score now?
4-4. You're still doing really well, so I'm glad we bumped yours up to 7. No more cheating. Who wrote the short story on which the film Children of the Corn was based? Come on, think of a writer.
Damn, I can't even think of one single author right now.
They're all dead. One horror writer? You can't think of one horror writer.
Stephen King.
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. I love you.
What Duffer Brothers TV show takes place in Hawkins, Indiana, and features a young boy's disappearance?
So, can you read me that one more time?
Don't focus so much on the TV show. What Duffer Brothers TV show takes place in Hawkins, Indiana, and features a young boy's disappearance?
Oh, Stranger Things.
Yes, correct. All right, no more hints for you.
Okay.
6-4.
Thank you. You did. I would have never thought that Stephen King, that's such an easy answer, you know?
Yeah.
I was overthinking it.
Well, also, how did you not get If I Call My Minister?
Oh, because, babe, I don't rhyme. I ain't got rhymes. Okay, what's the score? 6-4?
6-4, yeah.
Who was the host in the Tales from the Crypt TV series?
The Crypt Keeper.
Yes.
I thought you didn't have, surely he has, a name, right?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a name of the actor or something. Or the voice, I don't know.
Robert
Based Abdul. On... Based on a book written by Jay Anson, what 2005 Supernatural remake stars Ryan Reynolds and Melissa George?
The Amityville Horror.
Correct.
That's a good remake. That's really good. Love some Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
All right, so 6-6. Yeah. How about we do this? So, since we each only need one, let's just read one question back and forth. So, I'll read one question instead of two.
Okay, so basically the next person to miss
is
the loser.
Yeah, right.
Okay, all right.
All right, so what was the name of the killer and mortician in the movie Phantasm? You also get a redemption.
Yeah, because...
He's not the Slender Man, but he's the Blank Man.
Ghost Man.
The Tall Man.
Damn. I'm skipping the easy question.
All right, fine.
And I'm going to the harder question. What are the seven deadly sins featured in the movie Seven?
Oh, I got to name all seven?
Yeah. I'm glad that this is what you have to win on.
You get redemption, though.
Okay.
I might not get this. Sloth, greed, gluttony, wrath, envy, lust.
Yep. There's just one more.
Wrath. It helps if I could write them all down so I could see them.
Yeah.
Sloth.
Pride. You said sloth already.
I did
already
say sloth, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, pride. Damn, pride. That was such an easy one.
I know. Well, it was like so obvious that it was not. But ask me, all right, so we both still have 6.
Yeah, so, okay. So I did not win. But yeah. I get redemption if you get
this right. Yeah, yeah.
What post-apocalyptic horror TV series is based on the comic book series created by Robert Kirkman?
Oh, The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I looked at the back of the card trying to actually, I didn't know it. So, try to freak you out, but that didn't work. So,
well, it's okay.
If I don't get this question right,
it's okay. Like I said earlier, I was skipping the easy question.
All right, well, here we go. Here's the easy question. I don't know. I should have got.
What classic horror movie is set in Haddonfield, Illinois?
Halloween.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so what is it? We're at 7-7?
Well, I hate to. It's still.
Do you want
redemption.
To just call a draw and we get a tie?
Let's go. Let's do this.
Okay, let's keep going one question at a time.
All right. Name the movie with the tagline, "In space, no one can eat ice cream."
Alien.
Yes, but no. Yeah, like
it's... Aliens and Cowboys. Is that a movie?
No, yes. Cowboys and aliens. No. I said ice cream. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
In space, no one can hear you scream is Alien tagline. But
oh,
it's Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, I would have never guessed that. Okay. Okay, so if you get this Right, you win.
No, yes.
This 2010 movie involved unwilling participants in a Nazi doctor's sadistic experiments.
I don't know. Fucking Nazi doctor.
That's you give up?
Hostile Part 2.
The Human Centipede.
Oh!
I know. It's, okay.
He was a Nazi doctor?
Go ahead. Let me win right here.
Oh, okay. Who wrote the 1981 film An American Werewolf in London?
I don't know.
Don't worry. I wouldn't have actually remembered this. Okay. John Landis.
I was so confident. Yeah. Okay. One thing about living in Santa Carla, I could never stomach all the damn vampires. Name the movie.
One thing about living in Santa... Fright Night.
No.
Ooh.
One thing about living
in...
It's Lost Boys.
Oh, damn
I know. This one's a... Okay, this is going long. I need to win. All right, come on.
What 2005 film starring Jennifer Connelly was based on the book by the author of The Ring Trilogy?
The Grudge.
No, we just talked about it last night. Dark Water.
Damn it. I still don't even remember us talking about that.
All right, my turn.
Oh, yeah, sorry. What is the name of the character in Poltergeist who says they're here?
Oh, the little girl, Annie. Annie? Amy? What's her name? Damn.
Carol Ann.
What 1960s gothic television soap opera depicted the lives of the wealthy Collins family and was remade in the film starring Johnny Depp?
Dark Shadows.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes!
You got it.
Yay! What is the score now? You're
overall?
Two. Yeah, overall, you have two and I have one.
No, I think you have two and I have one.
No, I don't think I've won. I think this is my first time
winning. You did win a time.
I think maybe I have it written down. Well, I don't know who won last week. You won the first time.
Yeah, and then you won, so it's 2-1.
Okay. Well, ooh, that means I'm close to 0 and you were present.
You've won 2 in a row.
So I'm close to 0 and you were present if I win 3 more.
And you didn't have a handicap this time.
This time was hard and easy at the same time. It started off with easy questions and ended with questions we did not know. But yes, another successful edition of Horror Trivia.
And yeah, this one. So we're, what, overall it's best, the first one is 7, right? Are we doing 5 on that?
No, I think, okay, so I guess overall.
7?
Or should we do best of 7?
Yeah, best of 7.
Okay, yeah.
So you're up 2-1 in the series.
So I might have to buy you a present.
Yeah, might have to. All right, so let's do verses.
Okay.
As always, we pit one scary thing against another scary thing, and we just debate which one we think is scarier.
All right, I'm picking this week.
Here we go. What's it going to be? It's going to be something scary.
Ooh, I don't like it.
Oh, no.
Being blind versus being deaf.
Ooh, being blind versus being
deaf. Which is scarier. Well, I don't want to, like, I hope it doesn't sound rude that we're thinking which one is scarier on this, because...
Well, yeah, because they are both...
And some people,
tragic,
you know,
things that people
also
have to experience,
but some
daily
people,
yeah,
thrive, and they don't let it hold them back.
That is true, but when it comes to being, like, say, like, you had those senses,
and then
and
lost
then you're
them
in some type of accident,
yeah,
or someone did something to you, so which one would be scarier to lose for... the time being. You know what I mean?
Definitely eyesight.
I would have to go with eyesight because you can't see,
yeah,
what's happening to you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Because I just, for a minute, shut my eyes.
Like, damn, I need to see.
Yeah.
I can hear all of this.
Well, and just me as a person who has terrible eyesight.
Yeah.
I understand, like, it is an inconvenience just for me to be able to see enough to drive.
Right, like for me, I would hate more to lose my hearing because I'm a musician, but also life would be harder if you were blind.
Yeah.
So if you were in situations where you were blinded, that's terrifying. You
yeah,
don't even
absolutely
know how to get out now.
Yeah.
You know? I'd rather not be able to hear you. You can at least see where to go.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty easy, right? Being blind is definitely scarier, so.
So, yeah, we'll put it. But what do you think? If you, maybe, you know, somebody has a good case. Blindness or is deaf and can give us some insight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you could be like a, turn into a bat, right? Like, bats are basically blind and just use hearing to get around.
Yeah, but.
The Daredevil? The comic book? Born
with a sense to do that.
Are you just automatically have... Yeah, I know, right?
You don't develop bat senses because you became blind.
Well, that sounds like some bullshit.
This is a fucking ripoff.
Yeah, this is a ripoff. I mean, bat senses. Yeah, make sure if you have a compelling case of why not being able to hear is
worse. Scarier, for sure.
We would love to hear it.
Also, you know, like always, send us an email... hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and also remember to hit up our Hippie Haze store.
Oh, yeah, on Etsy, Hippie Haze Studios.
Yeah, we have stash boxes currently.
We're kind of working on restocking that right now. Yeah, we're
working on some new stash boxes right now. New designs.
Yeah.
It's about to be springtime. We're going to be doing some new tie-dyes.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I already have a lot of ideas.
Yeah, I'm ready for it to start being warm.
I know. When we're recording this, there's supposedly a massive snowstorm on the way.
Ooh, yeah, we might get snowed in.
That's unusual for us, so yeah, we'll see. Yeah. But it seems like a good time to get creative and get some stuff done.
Yeah, for sure. So definitely hit us up. Stay in touch. Like always, if you have a scary story you want to share with us, or if you have suggestions for verses, we would love to hear them. Yeah. Please send them to us.
Awesome. Well, thanks for checking us out. Come back next week for episode 18.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Peace out.
Peace out. Stay haunted.